Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. Research published earlier this summer confirmed what many women have been telling their doctors for years, that migraines seem to get worse in the years before and during menopause. The findings, published by doctors from the University of Cincinnati, found that migraine headaches increased by 50 to 60% in the years surrounding menopause. Recently, Dr. Stuart Tepper of the Cleveland Clinic, who was not involved in the study, walked me through the current treatment options for migraine.
2 years ago, the American Headache Society published guidelines and reviewed all the evidence for prevention. And there are four FDA-approved drugs for prevention. Topamax is one. There's an anti-epilepsy drug called Depakote, which is a second. And two blood pressure-lowering medicines that are called beta blockers, propranolol and timolol, are also FDA-approved. But there's good evidence for other beta blockers and pretty good evidence for a couple of for another kind of blood pressure-lowering medicine called candesartan that went generic last year, and for the antidepressant Effexor or venlafaxine. In addition, some of the supplements actually have pretty good evidence for effectiveness. There's level A evidence for Petidolex, the derivative of the butterbur root, for migraine prevention, and reasonable evidence for some other supplements like magnesium.
Dr. Tepper, I'm going to interrupt you because I'm not too sure what level A evidence means.
Yeah, sorry, I spoke jargon. That's top-level evidence, and I won't go into all the details of how they arrived at it, but it's the best level of evidence.
Okay.
So multiple placebo-controlled trials with pretty strict restrictions on what is required for a good trial. Mm-hmm. If people have real frequent migraine, more than 15 headache days per month, Botox is FDA approved for chronic migraine. That's headache at least 15 days per month, and it works great. But those are people who are more impaired by their migraines. They have more frequent migraines, and there's a little tussle that always occurs with the payers to get Botox approved. But it doesn't have a lot of side effects, and it's given every 3 months. So that's a pretty nice deal for the patients that good insurance.
Yeah. What does the Botox do, and where do you inject it then?
Well, the FDA approved what's called the PREEMPT protocol, which is 31 injections in sites across the forehead, temple, back of the head, and neck. It's a standard protocol, one size fits all. How it works, I think, is not clear. It probably interferes or inhibits a feedback loop between external inflammation and internal nerve activation. And by interfering with the feedback loop, it really can turn off daily headache very dramatically. And it can be life-changing for patients. It's really a wonderful treatment. Your second part of your question, which is stimulators and neuromodulation and devices, there are a number of devices that are being tested for migraine. None of them has FDA approval at this point. Occipital nerve stimulators, from which electrodes are buried in the back of the head by a neurosurgeon and a battery is put in the chest. Occipital nerve stimulators are being studied for chronic migraine. And there is a device in Europe that is implanted through the mouth and stimulates an area above the mouth that has been approved in Europe for cluster headache, not for migraine, but is being studied in Europe for migraine. So there are a number of other devices that are being tested. But the hot news, the really hot news for migraine prevention, was presented at the American Academy of Neurology. And that is that there are four companies that have created monoclonal antibodies, antibodies that are directed at specific target chemicals or receptors that are associated with the genesis of migraine. And the chemical that's most noxious, the one that we really think turns on the migraine pain, is one called calcitonin gene-related peptide, or CGRP. And three of these monoclonal antibodies are directed at CGRP to soak it all up and take it out of circulation. One of these monoclonal antibodies is against the receptor for CGRP, and two of the companies presented data at the Academy of Neurology meeting that showed their monoclonal antibodies against CGRP appeared to really stop a lot of migraine with minimal side effects for up to 3 months.
So the monoclonal antibodies versus some of the more, you know, like you said, the beta blockers and antidepressants and others, side effects really minimal, but some side effects?
We don't know.
Yeah.
It's so early in the development of these monoclonal antibodies. I'll tell you what we do know. What we do know is that in the two companies that presented the data, people would get one shot. That was it, just one shot. One was intravenous, one was subcutaneous. And they couldn't tell, the people that received it could not tell whether they had the real drug or not, because there really weren't any tolerability issues with it at all, zero. They couldn't tell whether they got placebo or the real thing. And then a significant percentage of them stopped having headaches or had dramatic reductions in their headache for the next 3 months. So what we don't know is not the tolerability issue, because it looks like they're going to be very tolerable. What we don't know is, will they have any untoward side effects on the liver or on the blood vessels or anywhere that the person wouldn't know unless studies were done to make sure that their liver and their blood vessels and so on were all okay. So we're waiting for more studies on more of these monoclonal antibodies and longer studies to see that they're safe. Tolerability looks great. Effectiveness is likely, but safety, we need more data.
So folks who suffer from migraines are going to want to know where in the process these monoclonal antibodies are. I mean, when could it possibly be that they would actually be available on the market?
I think the earliest they're likely to be available is 2 years.
Okay.
And that's pushing it. I think it could be longer than that. Two of the companies are moving on to what's referred to as phase 3 trials. Those are the regulatory trials that the FDA requires, and those really take a full year, and then after the data are submitted to the FDA, it's generally another year before the FDA approves the drug. And two of the companies are just doing their phase 2 trials, which are preliminary before doing the regulatory trials for the FDA. So we're at the Cleveland Clinic, we're doing two different companies, two different monoclonal antibody studies. And both of the studies we're doing are phase 2 studies. They're pre-regulatory trials. So I would think 2 or 3 years at the earliest before these become available for our patients.
Dr. Stuart Tepper of the Cleveland Clinic, thank you so much for talking with me. It's been fascinating.
It is. It's a very interesting area that's changing very rapidly. And thank you very much for letting me talk about it.
Dr. Stuart Tepper is a professor of neurology at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine.